We're here. All together.
Good thing we're not watching the video, right?
Turn out the lights.
Are you snoring?
Number two, even better.
Oh.
Well, the contractor.
I don't know, he might like it up here. Nobody elbowing him in or anything.
Three times as many people on Sundays in our view, so.
Yeah. Those back pews are popular. Well, good evening. Good to have you here. All ready to go for round two. When adversity comes, Job chapter 1. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for watching over us today. Thank you for enabling us to be here together tonight to study your word. Pray that you'd help us to learn some truths and principles that we can apply to our own lives. It'll be of help to us. Job was taken by surprise when adversity struck, and that very likely could happen to any of us, and so we just pray that you'd help us to learn things that would be of help to us if and when that were to occur, and we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just a little bit of review. We won't go through all this. Remember we said, the question sometimes comes up, why does a good God let bad things happen to good people? Okay. And there are books written along those same lines. And we see, and we'll see more of that as we actually get into Job's friends, quote unquote, come to visit him. And, you must have sinned in a really big way to have something this bad happen to you. But that's not the way God works. And we saw here that Job wasn't some lukewarm Christian, kind of half-hearted guy, and God just trying to give him a wake-up call. He was one that was had quite a description, and this is coming from God. This isn't Job writing it himself or somebody else trying to butter him up somehow or another. He said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect or complete, was upright, one that feared God and eschewed or avoided evil. You know, that would be great if God could write that about us as well. And but see, sometimes, again, things that we call bad, again, we're looking at it from our perspective. We don't see any good coming out of it or, good results right away. And so from our perspective, it's something bad happened to us, And then we talk about accidents. Well, usually we're thinking about accident as something that we hadn't prepared for. It was a surprise. Well, this is a surprise here to Job as well. But it isn't like sometimes people get the idea, something happens to them and they're thinking, wow, what did I do wrong? I must have sinned somehow. And I mean, that's possible. We all have that capability of sinning. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, how much of the sins does it wash away? Yeah, all of them, past, present, and future. Okay, so God isn't, when you write the things down here, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then scratch on the side for number 5, it's like, okay, every fifth time you sin, God's going to whack you one. And that doesn't work that way. We see here, too, that Job was prosperous. Verse 2 to 5, we see here that, you know, God had blessed him. God's not in the process of blessing people that are disobedient to him. And so he had a tremendous amount of blessing. And in those days, again, it was how much land you got, how many animals you got. And he had a lot of animals, all right? And again, we're only guessing. We don't know what he did with all those animals. I mean, it's one thing to have lamb chops once in a while, but what do you do with 7,000 sheep? You know, that's a lot of sheep shearing, okay? You go deaf from all the bah. And 500 yokes of oxen, must have had a lot of ground to plow or other things to take care of. His family was close-knit. They would all get together. Job, in case, you know, they may have sinned and didn't realize it, he was offering up sacrifices for them. Maybe they sinned it. And so he was trying to keep them straight as well as in his own life. And then we ran into some of Job's problems. And we see this in verses 6 through 19. And thing is, Job had humongous problems. The thing, we don't have to have those gigantic problems to go through before we can apply some of these principles to our lives. But we have to learn how to handle them. I'm satisfied Job ran into a few trials before he got to this one. But we still need to learn how to handle the trials when they come, whether they're small or large or whatever size that they might come in. Some of the principles kind of hold true no matter what the size of it. Which again, this wasn't something that Job caused. This wasn't, again, God's discipline of Job. But yet he had problems. And we see here too that Satan was really kind of at the root of it all, the root cause. One of his titles, I mean, he's got a lot of titles, but one of them is an accuser of the brethren. Well, he was strutting his stuff, accusing Job of, I'm doing all the talking. You tell me. What did he accuse Job of? What did he say about Job? Did he see him as a fine, upstanding fellow? And that's the reason why God was blessing him? Or Chris?
Well, he said you built a hedge around him, and that's the main reason why he obeys you.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been so good to him. You know, he's just kind of paying it back. You take all that away from him, and he'll curse you to your face. Isn't it good to know that God can put a hedge around you, though? You know, and I'm thinking that's probably a pretty good thing to pray for others, whether it's your kids or others, that God would put a hedge around them with lots of prickly thorns, you know. keep the bad guys away, all right? You know, Satan's standing before God, and he asks him, you know, what have you been doing? And he says, well, you've been roaming around the earth. 1 Peter 5:8, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to destroy us, okay? Now, that's his goal. We need to realize it. This guy's playing for keeps. He's not just some little source of irritation. He's dealing with Job, a man of integrity. And it's I was reading about this. It was saying, you know, Satan may have wanted to work on Job prior to this. You know, may have had a few goes at him already. We don't know all the details. But again, he's running into this hedge of protection. You know, he can't seem to get to Job because God's protecting him. And so God, he said, what did God allow him to do? Said, okay, you can test him, but what? Yeah, you can't take his life, all right? Now, I don't, the author here says, but he cannot lay a finger on Job. I don't know as I go along with that one. Did Job look like he ended up with a finger on him? It's like a, what was that guy in on the Chicago team? They call him the refrigerator or something. Yeah, it's like he got run into by the refrigerator, or he got tackled by one of these guys. Yeah, he was in kind of bad shape. But ultimately, you know, we have to remind ourselves because, you know, again, Satan's going to do with us like he's going to do with Job, that, you know, God doesn't love you anymore. God's forgot about you. He doesn't like you anymore, whatever. And we need to remind ourselves, you know, no, God's in control of all this. And if something like this is happening, there's a reason behind it. We may not know what it is, okay? In fact, we may live our whole lives and not know why certain things happen to us. But at the same time, God's looking out for us. And he tells us in Scripture, and well, look up all the verses here right now, but, you know, we're told that God loves us, okay? And he loves us enough that he's not going to let anything bad happen to us, okay? That's from his perspective. Now, we may call things bad that God doesn't call bad, all right? Well, it may be a... we notice here, too, that there's a limit. God put a limit on the trial. Okay, you can try him, but here's the limits. You know, you can't take his life. And it's good to know that ultimately, again, God's in charge. He's setting the limits. Parents sometimes set limits on children. I won't ask you what limits you have, but I saw a cartoon the other day, and it was deer, okay? And again, it's a cartoon, but this young buck was wanting to take the dad's daughter out on a date. And dad's standing there with a shotgun, and he points up on the wall, and and there are two heads mounted up there on the wall. These were previous guys that didn't have her home at the expected time. Yeah, so sometimes God set limits to us, and he's given it to us, all right? Israel got into trouble. You know, he says, I don't want any other gods before me. You know, I don't want any competition. And they did, and they didn't get their head mounted on the wall, but they ran into some problems. And so here we go. They got this trial, this testing that went on. And it wasn't based on Job's choices. Okay, if you're looking in there, it's not in this stuff I wrote in myself. But Job didn't choose to disobey God or make wrong choices. He didn't know what was happening to him. He didn't know why it was happening to him. And more often than not, we don't either. Okay? And for me, that's where we have to trust God. That God knows what he's doing. We may not have a clue. And I'm thinking, okay, look at it. Here's me. I don't have a clue what's going on. I don't know why. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know anything. I don't have any details. And then there's God. And He knows it all. He knows when it's going to start. He knows when it's going to end. He knows how severe it's going to be. He knows how to help us along and encourage us along the way, you know, and that's where God's got all the facts. And so we got to trust him. And so again, there's a lot to a trial, and again, a lot more than Job knew anything about. Now, you know, you get towards the end of the book, and you know, he starts getting some 20/20 hindsight as he looks back on the trial. And that's how often we learn too. We struggle to go through the trial, we get the trial's over, we look back at it, and hopefully we learn something in the process of all that. And so that we're better prepared for the next one. Okay? It may not necessarily be the same. I don't want this to be about us, but some of these things pop in my head as illustrations. It's like Maureen, when she goes through this chemo, what the side effects you have on the first one doesn't automatically mean that's what you're going to get on the second one. Sometimes it's like, they don't do this, but I'm thinking, of all the side effects, you could put it on a wheel, you know? It's like, I don't know, was it Wheel of Fortune? Anyway, you spin this thing and click, 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 click. Oh, this is what you're going to get this time, you know? And, you know, same way with the trial. We go through one trial, doesn't mean we're going to have the same. What can we learn from a trial? Just have a, how to have a stiff upper lip, you know? Yeah, like you say, don't we usually get drawn to the Lord closer when we're going through the trials? Okay? Maybe we drifted away before, but we're right up next to him. It's kind of like kids, you know, when it thunders. You know, they're at the end of the house. Boom! And the house shakes. And they come run up there next to you and grab a hold. Yeah. But it strengthens us. And again, this is that, I don't know if you call it 20/20 hindsight, but it's learning, maturing. Okay, you look back, and if you live long enough, you can, if you sit down and you start thinking through your life, you know, okay, ooh, that was kind of a tough time, but, you know, God was there for us. He helped us out, and we survived that one, okay? And then, well, yeah, a few years later, then we had another one, this one, and okay, but again, God helped us out, and we made it through that one. Well, now we're getting ready to face a new one. And you think, oh, well, God's been there before to help us out, and so we can count on him again. He's going to be there for us. Again, friends may forsake you, but God won't. He's going to be there when everybody else is, you know, in hiding for one reason or another, okay? And so that's part of that spiritual maturity. We learn to trust God because he's helped us over and over and over again. And the only way you learn that is by experience going through it. I mean, you can read about it in somebody else's book, whatever happened to them, and that's can be encouraging to realize, okay, God helped them out. Well, whether it's, I don't even know who I was listening to the other day. But I think they were talking about Joseph, you know, and how many times, you know, God was there for him. It wasn't easy. I mean, can you imagine getting sold off into slavery by your brothers? I mean, how rotten can you get? I mean, it's one thing to be like Chris telling about his brothers, how they used to fight and scrap, but they probably wouldn't have put him out on the curb with a for sale sign on his, you know. I don't know. Maybe I should... Yeah, right. Free. but yeah, I mean, those are things that we learn. And God is going to be looking out for us, but we need to realize that Satan doesn't play fair. You know, he's going to, you know, if he needs to lie about you to other people to somehow ruin your reputation, ruin your testimony, you know, he's going to do it. And, okay, so Job's sons and daughters having a party, and a messenger comes to Job, tells him that all the oxen that were plowing and the donkeys nearby, they were attacked. They took off with all the animals, and they killed all the servants. And another one comes along, and again, kind of a repeat, you know. They're tending the flocks, and more of them are killed off. And, you know, only one guy survives to be able to go and tell Job what's happened. And this happens over and over again, okay? Fire comes out of heaven, you know, kills all the sheep and all the servants, and there's only one to escape. And then it comes time for the third one to come along here and tells Job about what happened to his sons and daughters. And the mighty wind, probably like a tornado, come in and destroyed the house, fell in on them, killed them all. They're coming in waves. You ever had that when things kind of come that way? You get knocked down and you kind of get one knee up, and you think you're going to stand up, and then you get knocked down again. And I've told you the story, and I won't take the time a lot of how that used to happen to me when I had the kayak, and I'm out in the ocean, and I'm trying to come in, and every time I try to get up, another wave comes and knocks me over in the kayak, and you know, and it's finally I'm able to crawl up on the beach. But yeah, sometimes it just, you don't recover from the one before another one hits. Sometimes you've had stuff like this happen. The washer dies, and before, you know, you've got one on order, but you know, and then the car dies, and then when the kids get sick, and it's just like bam, 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 you know. And sometimes it comes like that, and it's notice here too. There's a lot of. He doesn't tell us how many servants that died in the process of all that, but they're innocent servants. All of them died, either from being attacked or whatever else that happens. And then all of his children are gone. And we got three messengers that survived out of all that. And, you know, we don't even know what happens to them. But all Job has left is these three guys, these servants, which may go home and never hear from him again, and Job's wife. He had his wife, and up till this point he had his reputation, but everything else is gone. I mean, it's kind of hard to find something to compare that with. Maybe it's your house that burns down. Only it's back in the, you know, 1800s, and the bank burns down or gets robbed. You have nothing. You have two nickels to rub together. Okay? I mean, you still got the land, but you know what good is if you have no servants, you have no animals, it becomes a dust bowl. Well, how's Job respond to this? We see Job's prayer in verse 20 through 22. And he gets this devastating report. It's again, coming like a waves. It says he tears his robe, which was a sign of grief in those days, shaves his head. And again, those are what people did when they were grieving at that point. And falls to the ground and worships and prays. Now, the thing is, I mean, we're kind of getting this fast forward. And I was talking with Maureen about this a little bit. And it's like, we don't know that these three guys came in, told him, bang, bang, bang. And 5 minutes later, he's on his knees saying this. It may have taken a little while, you know. He may have went to the house and told his wife. And, you know, I mean, something like that happens. It's like a ton of bricks just got dropped on you, you know. But whether it took minutes, hours, a week, whatever it took, he still ends up with the right response. And that's what we need to take away from this. He says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked I shall return thither. In other words, and then he goes on to say, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And ultimately, he's saying, God's in control. God gave it to me. I had nothing to start with. God gave it to me, and it's still the Lord's if he chooses to take it away. Now, sometimes we lose that in the sense that, what do we call it? My house, my car, my kids, my bank account, my job, my, you know, we start sounding like Obama. me. But really, it's still God's. It's kind of like it's on loan to us. We're to be good stewards of what God gives us. But if he chooses to take it back, that's his right. And our response ought not to be shaking our scrawny little fist at God, you know, and get mad. This is really kind of when you find out what you're made out of. When your faith is tested. Ultimately, he says, blessed be the name of the Lord in as he's in this sorrow. And Maureen and I, we can't say we know how Job feels because we haven't lost all our children or anything like that, but we did lose a spouse. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, there's different stages of grief. I know some people don't agree with that, but I do. And I was looking them up just to kind of see what they were. And some say there's 5, some say there's 7, regardless. And they're not always in a nice, neat little package. Usually someone, there's the shock. I mean, you're just like, and denial. You know, if you do get some sleep in there somewhere, you're hoping you're going to wake up and it's going to all be a bad dream, but yet it isn't. It's still there, you know. And then, you know, so there's shock, there's denial. Sometimes there's anger. And, I mean, it's been a long time, so I don't remember every instance. I don't remember ever getting mad at God. I didn't necessarily like what he allowed to happen, but at the same time, and I didn't think God was getting revenge or getting back at me, but I hadn't been living for the Lord. And so he had no reason that he had to be good to me. I wasn't giving him any good reasons. But, and he points out here is you can't prepare for adversity after it arrives. Okay? You can try to do some scrambling and make up for lost time, you know, do a lot of repenting in a hurry and that sort of thing. But that if your faith is wobbly to start with, you're liable to end up flat on your face because you don't have much spiritual strength. It's kind of like vitamins, you know? Okay, you start to get the flu. What are you going to do? You can swallow a whole bottle full of vitamin C and it's not going to fix you, all right? You needed an immune system before you got the thing. And our faith It's kind of like an immune system. It helps us deal with the stuff coming at us, right? And so we have to, we don't, I know last, okay, we know we probably ought to, I don't, maybe some of you are doing really good, I don't know, working out at the gym or, you know, getting exercise, getting yourself in shape and eating right all the time and, you know, just ready to take on whatever comes at you. Whereas there's some other of us that know you should be doing more of some of this stuff, but for whatever reason, you're not, okay? Life can tend to get in the way, and you don't always get everything done in the way that you know you ought to be doing it. And so maybe you're not as strong as you would like to be. And so when the flu season comes or whatever comes along, you catch some of this stuff. Or when trials come, it tends to knock you down further than you would have had you been a bit spiritually strong. But look at how far, look at what kind of a, and we'll see more of this as we go along, but Job was a man who was really trying to live to please God, and he got knocked down hard, okay? And so, but that's, you find out what you're made out of. Not that any of us really want to know. We think we're pretty strong. We think we can handle it, but you never know till it gets there, you know? And Job's really got, you know, one, two, three, and a whole lot more punches. You feel like you've been in the round with Muhammad Ali or something before you get done. And Peter tells us we can rejoice when suffering various temporary trials. Again, God is testing our faith so that ultimately it will be more precious than gold when it's tested and refined. Okay? But it's the heat, it's the trials, the test that kind of toughen us up and test our faith. We don't know how we're going to handle it until we get tested. But God wants us to, you know, if we follow some of Job's character, you know, most of us aren't too much in control of our prosperity. We're not too able to handle or pick and choose our problems. But there's one on a P on either end of that. They call it piety, but our spiritual life, we can do what we can to tune that up so that we're stronger spiritually. And on the other end is prayer, and that's all part of it. And that's, you know, why I think I've said it to you, but also to Maureen as well. It's, you know, and you know, people send us an email or a card or something, and I always want to thank them. Thanks, and I'll thank you now. Thanks for praying for us. You know, I think, what are people who don't know the Lord, how do they handle stuff? You know, well, they don't. That's why they're running to the bar to try to numb yourself from the neck up, or taking drugs or doing something, you know, to try to kill the pain. And, you know, that's not what God wants us to handle it. But he does want us to rely on him. And folks, he's reliable. It's like that song, "Great is thy faithfulness." He's there for us. You know, again, Satan's going to be telling you, God's forgot about you. He doesn't like you anymore. Look at what he allowed to happen to you. You know, you tell Satan, take a hike and remember, you know, no, God said he's faithful. He's going to be there for me. He's going to help me. And our time's passed. But we'll have more ground here to cover. But again, just encouragement to, you know, do what you can to strengthen your faith, because you don't know what trial is coming around the bend. And for the most part, they usually take us by surprise. Even though we may think we know something's coming, we're never quite ready for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. There's so much here, it's hard just to stop. But Lord, we pray you'll continue to help us to learn and to grow. Help us to mature. Help us to learn from the trials that maybe we've already been through, that we'll be in better shape to be able to handle the next one. And then, too, to remind ourselves, when Satan's telling us that, you know, God's forgot about you and he's not going to help. And if he loved you, he wouldn't let this happen to you and all those sort of things. But no, you've told us that you love us. You've demonstrated that by sending your own son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And you've told us you'll never leave us or forsake us. You're preparing a place for us. And Lord, we pray you continue to encourage our hearts as we continue to look through this book. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, lots of good stuff in there. All right, has everybody got a... I sent out an email here about Tim.